If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everybody. My name is Dan Selke. I'm the editor of WinterIsComing.net, here with Natalie Zamora, fan-sided entertainment editor extraordinaire, and very special guest, right to out of camera, if you're watching on the feed and not the podcast, Meadow the Dog. Natalie, could Meadow the Dog make a fast appearance?
Oh, yes, of course. She's trying to destroy this bed she's in, but she's here and she's listening.
So cute. Our regular co-host Daniel Roman is out today for a reason that I hope we can divulge soon. I don't want to give too much away or promise anything we can't deliver, but Daniel Roman is off on a secret location. It's been very, very exciting that hopefully we can talk about when he gets back, whenever that might be. In the meantime, we're here to discuss all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, etc. and so forth on Take the Black, your weekly dose of all of that stuff. Hey to everyone here. Hey, Robert, good to see you. Anybody else in the chat, feel free to talk. We love chatting with you and learning about you. A conference, lightning bolt. Shh, I can't tell you guys where he's at. It's super secret. But okay, I am going to tease it because Daniel Roman's the longtime co-host of this podcast. He is away for a couple of weeks on vacation, but also he's going somewhere and may get something for us that I don't think you people are even prepared for. I'm not going to say any more than that, but if it, because it's possible it'll fall apart, but if it doesn't, are we going to impress you, your mothers, and everyone? Natalie, how are you doing this lovely Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing well. Excited to be on the show and definitely still thinking about all things House of the Dragon. I'm not ready to say goodbye. So here we are.
It's been a couple of days since the House of Dragons Season 2 finale, about like almost a week for us who got it a tad early. And we have a full battery of stuff to talk about today. There's some other shows coming out. There's some spinoff news we're going to get into. I thought we would start, though, by the fallout from this, because the Season 2 finale aired. The Queen Who Ever Was, which is the certainly a interesting title. It's like wordplay in search of a pun, I feel like. I just don't like it. So I feel like we have to grapple quickly with the bad fallout from this. This episode was not terribly well received. Our own review was, had a lot of negative stuff, although we enjoyed big parts of it, obviously. It's been pretty, if you care about Meadow. Again, for podcast listeners, there's an adorable dog in Natalie's lap, and it's too cute, and I can't. It's been pretty negatively reviewed by IMDb people.
Yeah.
Well, all the stock in that, that we can. It was the highest ratings getter of the season, the finale. Although part of me does wonder, like, oh God, everyone turned into the finale to see some big climactic event, probably. Yeah. And then they were greeted with a montage of cool things that are about to happen. I legitimately do worry a bit that it might hurt in the 2-year interim. Are there any feelings you have that have been bubbling up since the end of the finale, end of the season, Natalie?
I feel just fine about it. I just am kind of in a state of like, it is what it is at this point. I do wonder, like you're saying, I feel like I'm getting a little bit of like Game of Thrones season 8 aura going on right now. Definitely not as bad. But yeah, the reviews, the like social media reactions have just been so awful that it's like, even if I agree with some of it to an extent, I can't read it anymore because it's just too negative, too toxic. I don't care. Let's say positive things might turn around. We got 2 years or more to mourn what this season was, and I think it'll be okay.
I'm not mourning it for that long. I'm not taking my time doing that. I do want to address something in the comments a bit. There is a thing, this is kind of positive, I can get it to a point where it's positive, I promise, where there's been kind of a copy pasta thing going around where people were talking about the reduction of episode, kind of a number from 10 to 8. And there was this, I don't think it's confirmed at all, but there was kind of like a copy pasta thing going around about, oh, HBO called them up a month before, a month before production start and said, you have to take it down from 10 to 8. And they had to refigure really quickly, and because of the writer's strikes, they couldn't adjust things on set. I'm not going to stand by that. I looked into it, and even the person who said it originally was like, that's just my speculation, but kind of trying to life its own. You know how the internet goes. Mm-hmm. It does seem pretty clear to me that there were some behind-the-scenes issues. You know, we'd heard that there were a big battle move from season 2 to season 3. At least one producer started to say that it wasn't our choice to do this, and then Ryan Condal's like, no, but it was a creative decision. You know, it's going to be a company man. That's not entirely bad. Because it was done through the writer strikes, they can't adjust things on the fly, which I do think you can tell. Mm-hmm. So if you want a positive, if you were sad about this season, and again, a lot of it was really good, it does look like season 3 and beyond will be a lot smoother sailing production-wise. The past several years in TV, it has kind of taken a pummeling. It wasn't that long ago that shows were shooting through COVID and they had to like put on the mask and the distancing, and which resulted in all these weird scenes. You could tell where, like, why are they all standing 18 feet apart from each other? Why is this army like 3 people big? And then they had the strikes, and I think we haven't seen the end of some of the weird stuff to come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all happening. It does, and Hollywood's still feeling the effects of that. Like, there are shows that aren't being greenlit because they're kind of rebalancing their budget sheets in the wake of the strikes and COVID.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's smooth sailing ahead, and I see no reason to be a doomer about it. I enjoyed season 2. There are parts that I didn't enjoy, but I'm still looking forward to the rest of what it has to offer.
Yeah, I think surely at where we are in the story, I just can't imagine it being nothing happens in season 3, but no. I don't want to jinx it. So I'll knock on wood and hope for the best.
I mean, one thing I guess we didn't talk about last time was that they confirmed that not only is season 3 coming, but season 4 is coming. And that's the final season. It's good to have a shape for what goes forward. And again, I agree with you, Julie. I'm sick of the negativity. It's fine. A big complaint about season 2 was that it was too slow. We've read Fire and Blood. We know what's coming. And if they want to fit the rest of it into 2 more seasons, which I think is doable, it's pretty much impossible for them to go at a sluggish, slow pace.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want them to rush through things, but the way we've seen the writing so far, I don't think they want to rush anything. So hopefully, knowing that they only have two more seasons, it'll be a good pace that people want, but we'll see.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly one in three American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Again, I don't want to go too deep into a conspiracy hole. I think there was shenanigans behind the scenes. I think something happened. I think the writer's strike mattered. I think there probably was some edict from on high about episodes and they had to pitch stuff they were planning. I think there were things move from thing to thing and it kind of messed things up. If HBO has a reputation for letting its creatives do what they want and standing back and letting it happen, that can lead to great things. It often has. It can lead to some problems too, like the final season of Game of Thrones. I think maybe a little more oversight could have helped. But generally speaking, it produces more good than bad, 100%, when you let people do what they want to do, when the creative people do what they want to do. And I hope that with the final two seasons, without these kind of external forces bothering them, we get the best version of what this show can be.
Yeah, agreed. And hopefully, whether it's the writers or HBO execs or a combination, not that I want them to see all the toxicity, but I think a little bit of negative reviews will be good for them moving forward, maybe.
You always wonder that, don't you? Like, it's hard to put yourself in their shoes, but like, if you were a producer, would you seek out what people are saying? I think I would. I'd be able to stop myself. But I know the good advice is to not do it.
I know. I mean, that's what I wonder too. Like, how much of it do they have a debrief? And it's like, here's what everyone is saying. I mean, at a certain level, I think they do, but I don't know if it's every producer and writer, which is probably it.
It's probably different from network to network too. I can imagine like Amazon doing like paying like a consulting firm to do a debrief and how people thought about scenes and then coming back and saying, or Disney, and saying, here's what to fix. It's harder to see HBO doing that, which again, it's pros and cons, pluses and minuses, merits and demerits of every approach. It's all just a rich tapestry, but that's where we are. I enjoyed the second season. Battle of Rook's Rest was great. Lots of good character stuff. There was stuff I didn't like, but I remain an optimistic Oliver about the whole affair.
Same.
Work. And I remain optimistic about the next Game of Thrones spinoff show, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is coming out sometime next year. We don't know quite when. But they've had this one development for a while, based on the Tales of Dunk and Egg novellas by George R. R. Martin, about a very tall knight named Dunk and a very short boy named Egg team up to have adventures. We got our first official footage of it in the little HBO sizzle reel. That is Peter Claffey as Dunk, a kind of thick-headed, in the book, he's like 6'7". I don't think he's going to be that tall in the show. knight who kind of goes to a tourney, signs up for the lists, and gets into an adventure. And then we also had a picture of, I think, Dexter and... I don't know why I didn't write down these names. Dexter and Soul, I believe. Dexter, Soul, and Soul. That's cheating. As Egg, the diminutive, bald-headed squire to Dunk, who is the, I don't know, Rizzoli to his Isles, the Scully to his Mulder, the Brains to his Brawn. There are other comparisons I'm sure you could make. Should be a fun show. I'm a tad nervous about it, obviously, in the immediate wake of House of the Dragon. Yeah. But I don't see why I should be. I mean, it's HBO making an adaptation of a really good novella. And it's written by, managed by a dude named Ira Parker, who wrote one of my favorite episodes of House of Dragon Season 1, the one where Rhaenyra goes out on her date with her uncle and goes through the streets of King's Landing. That was a really fun one. I love that one. So the signs are good. And again, even if there's a storm cloud above me threatening to rain, I'm going to shoo it away. And I'm going to go into it with open eyes and an open heart.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm excited for this one because I really know like little to nothing about it. So I'm excited to go into it just with no real expectations. All I know is this takes place after House of the Dragon, right?
Yeah, but before Game of Thrones, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I'm excited. Do you have any speculation on how many seasons it will run? I know it's a novella, so shorter, I'm assuming, right?
It's a little shorter. Yeah, it's going to be 6 episodes, which honestly might be pushing it a tad, but if they're good, that they can do it. There are 3 written.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Frankly, the worst case scenario is another Game of Thrones situation where they get there, want to do more, they aren't written yet.
Yeah.
It's impossible to tell. George R. R. Martin's like, I'm going to write 12 more. And like, who knows if that's true or not, what that means. Someone said that it'll be interesting. Who was it? Melissa, that it'll be weird watching Game of Thrones show that's not about winning the throne. I think that could be, which it is, because it's much lower stakes. I think that could be really refreshing.
Yeah.
They just have to go into it keeping in mind the scale and the staging of it and not try and make it bigger than it is. And it could be great. I actually haven't read the novellas. I own the book now. I'm going to read it after I'm done with my, before it goes on. Easily. Daniel has read a hint here. Someone asked where Daniel is. Robert, somebody did. And I'll just say, reiterate, where is Daniel? Doing something awesome. And don't you worry about it. And we'll talk about it later. Hold on this.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited. I feel like when they first announced it, I was surprised that that's what they chose because I know everyone wants Aegon's Conquest. They want Robert's Rebellion. Mm-hmm. Other things that we're familiar with to an extent from the Game of Thrones, from the original show. But at the same time, I do think that since it is so different, it might be refreshing and it's something that we don't maybe have the same expectations or pressure for. So that should be good.
I'm hoping and praying. It could be a great refresh. And ideally, it's perfect because you get one season House of Dragon, one season Knights of Seven Kingdoms, and then you just go back and forth. That could be perfect if both shows hold up there under the bargain. So I'm just hoping for the best. And maybe April, May-ish, someone suggested that. Sure, why not? Beyond that, we know they're working on... Okay, and this new news comes from George R. R. Martin, who it's hard to disentangle sometimes when that man talks, the hard and fast facts from hopeful enthusiasm, but he was giving an interview with his Dark Materials author, Philip Pullman, at some fancy Oxford Writers House authors on authors type interview. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, and again, I like George R. R. Martin a lot. I do feel like we have to say that take anything he says with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You can't fully trust the person who's been working on a book for 13 years and at one point promised to have it in by like, I don't know, 2015. But he was saying that HBO currently has seven spin-offs of Game of Thrones in various levels of development, three live action and four animated for a quick rundown. I think the ones we know about, there's an Aegon's Conquest thing maybe in the works, which wouldn't be live action one. There's a young Corlys Velaryon animated series maybe in the works. There is a Golden Empire of Yi-Ti, which is basically Game of Thrones China, which basically means make up something completely new, animated series maybe in the works. I think it's, oh, and there's a Nymeria of the Rhoynar live action things maybe in the works. Again, I'm just mentioning it. That's what's happening. Does it happen? Does it not? I really have no idea. I'm not sure they have no idea. I don't think he has any idea. But that's the latest. Personally, I'll stick to my guns of I hope they keep it minimal and classy.
Yeah, I feel like in development could mean someone mentioned it one time in a writer's room and they said that'd be a great idea, and that's about it. So
Yes, I agree.
we'll see. Yeah, I do. I definitely still agree with you that one show at a time, we don't need a whole universe where there's multiple shows at the same time. I do wonder, like, just how long the shows will go on. Like, I hope that they continue making shows forever, but just do it, stagger them so they're
Now that
not.
House of the Dragon has like an end date, I can see them rolling into Aegon's Conquest or something. Like after it's done, like and then take like a year off and then do that. I think that could work.
Yeah, I want them to do that one. I really do. And let's not cast Henry Cavill as Aegon.
Henry freaking Cavill, man. You'll bounce from thing to thing and still have the internet up your butt, just praising everything you do. I like he's a good actor. I find the cult of Henry Cavill almost more interesting than Henry Cavill himself.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me. He's good. Don't get me wrong. Some good comments, as all. Julie Davies, a resident comic, George R. R. Martin's a fantasy writer living in a fantasy world. I agree. That's a good way to put it. I think that
Yeah.
does sum him up very nicely.
And why not?
And
Good for him.
Bushmaster with a good comment too, which might be part of the reason what we saw in House of the Dragon, that they struggle with big CGI battles so much that they can't afford more than two battles per season. So how to make Aegon's Conquest? It does seem to be like two giant set pieces might be the limit, which we're coming up on the edge of like just what's possible in a production cycle. Like, how can you have more than two giant CGI set pieces in one season of TV? I'm not. I mean, they're gonna give it a whirl in this next season of House of the Dragon, I suppose, but it is hard. This is very hard to do. And yeah, I guess we're about to really test the limits of just how epic television can be. Because we make these demands, right? We make these demands like I want a season every year, and also I want as many battles as possible. And I sympathize with myself for wanting these things, and I like me and I want them. I sympathize with the bind in which producers must find themselves too.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that is something I hadn't thought about. Like, they had to move, presumably, the Battle of the Gullet to season three, but then how many other battles are they going to be able to afford in season three? So it's interesting. I wish HBO or whoever would just give them more budget. I know it's easier said than done, but you would think there's more battles, more people are watching it because that's what they want, but that's why it's not my job.
It's not our job. It just should be.
Yeah.
HBO though, I mean, we know they have money because HBO is doing a ton of stuff. They actually dropped the Dunkin' Egg thing came from this sizzle reel they dropped where they showed off a lot of the things they have coming up, and a lot of it looks, I would say, pretty good. HBO hasn't lost the shimmer. They're kind of they're in this space where they have their roots in this like high quality prestige drama of the past, trying to merge it with this like new kind of IP heavy future. So far, it's working pretty good if we look at this list of things they had come up the sizzle reel. So we got Industry Season 3 starring Mr. Kit Harington as big bad business guy on this Sunday. And I'll ask your opinion on that later because I put it in the lightning round because I forgot it was in this part. So hold, please. We got the Penguin on September 19th. That would be more of an IP thing. Does that interest you at all?
I actually might try it. I'll probably watch the first episode. I love Colin Farrell, and I thought he was really good in The Batman. So I'm curious. I'll check it out.
I am curious, too, to see how does HBO do a Batman villain show. Yeah. I'm just curious. Like, does the classy prestige thing hold over for this kind of pulpy IP thing? We'll find out. We got another IP thing, Dune Prophecy, coming in November, which I will, again, I'd say kind of similar to that. I'm curious. I'll check it out. There's no reason a spooky, heavy Dune TV show couldn't work with Bene Gesserit intoning all kinds of solemn things about... I'm kind of tied to prophecies right now, to be honest with you.
too many prophecies.
Too many prophecies. Does that interest you at all?
Dune Prophecy.
Yeah, I'll watch that. Dune, like, I had never read any of the books, and so I'm not familiar with the lore. I loved the movies, so I'll check it out.
And then we got, and they didn't say this, but it's going to come out this year, The Franchise, which I am a fan of. I like Armando Iannucci, who did Veep, which is hilarious. So I've checked that out, like a kind of a parody of big IP cinema, of like Marvel. That could be good.
Definitely love the, love the premise there.
Are you a Veep fan?
I've never watched Veep, and I want to. I've heard only great things, so
I loved it. I don't know, like, exactly your taste. I feel like you would like Veep. I thought he was fantastic. And the same guy skewering Marvel, I could see it.
That premise alone, I'm like, that sounds great.
I'm on board. And then next year, again, kind of wall-to-wall hits, The White Lotus Season 3. I'm definitely there for that.
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
Great show. But that's like two back-to-back banger seasons it had. So I'm all in for that. Do whatever you want. And the guy who made that made that Laura Dern show on HBO. Enlightened, which is also really, really fun.
Oh, I never watched that.
A little less approachable. He found his niche, kill it. The Gilded Age Season 3, The Gilded Age is 100% my guilty pleasure show.
Yeah.
It is this American Downton Abbey, opulent rich people in beautiful gowns and enormous estates. It's like you get some popcorn and just nothing is happening and I'm transfixed. Uh-huh. So I do have a bit of a soft spot for that show, even if I feel a little guilty.
It's on HBO. It's a prestige show. I've never watched it and I want to try it. It takes place in New York, right? Or am I making that?
In like the turn of the century.
That's
like 1890s, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I need to watch that. That's the only one on this list that I probably won't watch because I've never seen the first two seasons. But I'm interested.
Did you watch like Downton Abbey and those kind of shows?
No. I've seen Bridgerton. That's about it.
it's definitely worth trying out. And then once you watch it, come back here and talk about it, because it is a hit. People do like it.
Yeah.
It's got great it's got the HBO polish to it. It's got the great acting, the great actors, the great set decoration, the great design and visuals. And then the Downton Abbey kind of super rich people having tiny problems blown up to this huge scale. Which is a formula that I guess works for me, because I have enjoyed it.
Yeah. I feel like any stories of that time, if it's around rich people, it always is the same. Like tiny problems that today would not matter at all. Like marriages, things like that, that it's like at that time was the biggest thing in the world. So that's fun.
As Julie says, it's easy to watch. I agree. It goes down smooth, that show. I like it. And Melissa is saying that Duncan Egg is coming June 25th. Unless they announced that, Melissa, I don't think they said anything. Unless you have inside information. Are you HBO? Are you David Zaslav? You know David Zaslav. If you have any inside information, let us know. But I don't believe they've announced a release date unless they did it in the past couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And then after that, another IP meets quality. It, Welcome to Derry, the It prequel series about what the killer alien clown spider evil monster, I guess, does during other points in the It history.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that one?
That one, I am just, I will be there the second it comes
You like
out.
horror, right?
Yeah, this is him right there, Pennywise. I am
Oh,
absolutely obsessed with the story of it. They have a lot of lore to go off of too, so I feel like it
yeah.
will be good. Andy Muschietti is making it, probably butchering his name. Like him, he made the movies,
Yeah.
so I'm bored. And Bill Skarsgård's gonna be in it, so it has everything that I need before it comes out and I actually watch it. So yeah, I'm excited.
The pedigree's pretty good. Yeah, I'm curious too. Like, I don't think any of these has been a no for me so far. Some of
Yeah.
them are a I'll try it out provisional basis, but I have liked them all. And then finally, probably the biggest, and by the way, and Melissa said that the June 25th Dunkin' Egg date is on Google. Listen, I'm gonna say we're like knee deep in this crap all day. I do not believe that there is an official release date. So I would be wary of what you find on Google regarding this until further notice. And finally, the big one for next year, probably The Last of Us Season 2, which I put a couple of images here I chose because I'm a giant dork and I played the video game and I recognize these. This like kind of barn dance where Ellie and Joel have a bit of a argument is a big scene from the game. This is made by the folks who make the video game, so you can really tell they want to do it kind of not one to one, but close, which sometimes I wish the House of the Dragonfolk would do that. But I appreciate the faithfulness. And then this next, I didn't choose Joel or Ellie because we all know what they look like. Okay, they're in it. They're in it. Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey are coming back. So we're zombies. And then those are the Seraphite cult members from The Last of Us Part Two that I remember. Killed so many of those guys. But did you enjoy the first season of The Last of Us?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was incredible. Like 10 out of 10. I don't even remember if I had issues with it. I don't remember what they were at this point. So I'm really, really excited. I have not played the game. I'm not a big gamer, though I do
Yeah.
want to, though I have an Xbox. So there are things preventing me from playing
Right.
it. I do really want to play it. And yeah, I think it'll be inevitable that we'll be comparing season two of this to season two of House of the Dragon. Not by content, but just by quality. And I'm really hoping this season is better than House of the Dragon season two.
I think it mo almost definitely will be. They have a. I don't think you need to play. I mean, play. Like, if you like a TV show, it's one thing to go read the book, but like asking people to play games is a higher bar. It's going to get more common, I guess, as more and more games get turned into TV shows and movies. But it's. I don't think anybody's going to get upset if you don't play the video. It's such a big ask. Like, that's like potentially tens of hours of playing for a TV show that you have to like engage in and fail at and go back and do. It's a whole other thing. It is good though. It's a good story. It's a little more complicated this season. I'm gonna predict it's going to be a edge of your seat kind of thing. I think that'll be really good if they build on what they did in the first season. And I know they're not gonna change a lot. Because they were so committed to doing it, kind of again, not one to one, very close. So I'm looking forward to that one a lot. We don't know the exact release date. Melissa just confirms, what do we think about a summer? So it's probably not June 25th, but a summer release date for Knights of Seven Kingdoms next year sounds about right to me. I mean, I don't think summer's bad for these shows. Like House of the Dragon got watched. It was a hit. For the big fantasy shows out there, it's the biggest one. I guess I wish they released it maybe in the spring or the fall because I'm more indoors during that time, but I think summer's fine.
Yeah, I have no preference really. I feel like the past few years, there's been a lot of huge summer shows. Like I'm thinking Stranger Things also.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have no preference.
Yeah. I'm easy. And no, Julie, we don't know a release date for the Wheel of Time either, although we'll talk about that a little later in the show during the lightning round segment. But when a show that is coming out literally tomorrow, and that I know I'm going to go ahead and tempt fate just a tiniest little bit, we can say that you've seen it, right? Okay. The Umbrella Academy, season four, the fourth and final season of Netflix's offbeat family comedy, dramedy, drama superhero show comes out tomorrow, a show that I've liked for the first two seasons and then sort of
let
go because I heard the first season was like meh, and I never got back on that horse. But you did, Natalie. How's that horse going?
Yes, I did. I loved the first two seasons. I really, really thought they were so great. The third season I didn't really like, and it wasn't like there was a huge problem with it. It was just kind of pacing and they were trying to do too much. And it was just also, it's kind of the same thing every season. You know, they're trying to stop.
Sure. Yeah.
So, after 2 years of it, it gets a little boring. So I was kind of turned off by the third season. I didn't even really want to watch the fourth season, if I'm being honest with you. I was just too bitter about it. But
what changed?
For work, some coverage. Okay. Because I was caught up on the show. I, you know, volunteered to cover it. Yeah, I have to be careful with what I say because the review embargo is tomorrow for some reason. But I think if you watched all three seasons, obviously watch the fourth season. If you watched all three and you didn't like season three, like me, I think you should still watch season four. It's the final season also. So, yeah, and I think I rewatched the trailer and read the synopsis just to make sure there would be no spoilers. But, yeah, they've confirmed that, you know, it takes place after the timeline reset that happened in season three. They don't have their powers anymore, so they're kind of living a normal life or trying to. But, of course, that's not going to last long because there's another big event coming soon. So,
no.
Yeah. I love the cast. They're really good. Soundtrack always great. And yeah, it's like super funny in a way that I like, because a lot of times I think this happens with like Marvel, for example, it's just not my humor. I don't really love the classic like action humor that's in a lot of movies and shows, but this humor actually resonates with me. So it's a good show. I'm excited that it's back, and then yeah, it'll be over. So at least it didn't go on for way too long.
Exactly. Nobody likes that. I know that you, like you said, you can't say anything too specific. I'm going to speak for you, and it sounds like you enjoyed yourself. Can you give us like, I don't know, like a thumbs up or a thumbs down or some kind of vague impression? Yeah. Okay. It's a thumbs up, everybody. She liked it. Voices of Umbrella Academy, bringing it to an end. Worth watching. I'm glad. I like seeing a inventive show, an off the beaten path kind of show like the Umbrella Academy, getting a good send off, even if it had some bumps in the road. I like that. And as Julie says, say good or okay. She gave a thumbs up, and as far as we're going to push it before Netflix, what's Netflix going to do to us? I'm glad. Perhaps I'll, here's a question. I didn't watch the third season. Could I skip it and go right to the fourth?
I mean, you probably shouldn't, but you probably could. They have, like, you know, at the start, the whole recap of the last season. So
you
wouldn't be, like, terribly lost or anything, no. Especially since you know the characters. So that's probably good.
You know what? I might consider it. But that's that. I'm glad. Good. Good for the Umbrella Academy. Good for House of the Dragon. Good for Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Good for all the Game of Thrones spinoffs coming. Natalie, as we barrel towards the end here, I feel like when you're on the show, it goes a little faster than when Daniel's on the show, because Daniel, God love him, and we all do, has much to say. That's a nice way of putting it. He is he's excellent. He's an opinionated, verbose, loquacious individual, and we love it, and we love him, and we wish him well in his mystery. But Natalie, is there anything right now that you're watching, reading? I guess those two things, movies, TV, books, or otherwise, that you just want to mention? Anything you have a recommendation for or don't?
I did. I know I sent you a photo, and Meadow has been trying to bite it off of my bookshelf. I did start Interview with the Vampire, so I am excited about that. The book, not the show. I love the show. Mm-hmm. I was on vacation at the beach earlier this month, so that was a great time to start a read. And yeah, so far it's really good. I'm super excited to keep reading it. I know you and I love the show and are excited for season three. Yeah. So that I'm definitely going to keep reading. I, now that I'm done with House of the Dragon, I feel like just a void in my TV watching. I did restart The Office, as one does, but I know we're going to talk about it in a little bit. I need to catch up on industry. That's my next thing that I need to do. So that's all me.
Yeah, I'm curious if that one's worth diving into industry. I have not really seen much of it. And Daniel, if you're watching, Robert Harris compliments you. I love his speeches because I sign up for an hour and he gives as close to that as possible. And we love Natalie too, though, says Robert. Natalie loves both of them, except me. He doesn't love me. I'm kidding. You didn't say that, Robert. True love us all. I think I said this before. I am rereading the fourth Wheel of Time book, The Shadow Rising, because I read it. And then I was going to do like a discussion video about it. And then it was a year later and I was like, I've forgotten everything about it. So I'm rereading that. And then I'm going to read A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, the three novellas. And then I'm going to read The Vampire Lestat. And that is my reading list for the foreseeable future. I have it all planned out. By the end of the year, all three of those things will be crossed off. Maybe by, I don't know, November. We'll see. In terms of watching, I'm kind of with you. Yeah, after House of the Dragon, I've had a bit of a lull. We're trying to pick a new show to watch. We're thinking like Fargo. Have you ever watched that?
Oh, yeah. That one I need to catch up on. I watched the first few seasons, however many there are, but I heard the most recent one is like the best one, and I haven't watched it. So, yeah, that's a good show.
Love a show that builds. And then my other... not guilty pleasure. I don't believe in guilty pleasures. Then when I'm done with my work and I've had a long day and I just want a small drink and some and no one's here and I have some me time, I've been watching Sex in the City on Max and just enjoying that journey. Watched this show.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, those wacky women. They're all new to me, all their adventures, all their misadventures in romance. Yes, they're all very new to me, embracing and still relevant, but also very 2000s too. So it's been a fun little journey.
Some of it didn't age well as expected, but no, that is one of my favorite shows. I love Sex and the City so much. So I hope you enjoy your journey.
I definitely am. I am enjoying the journey. You're right. Some stuff, it feels like you kind of had to be there to do it. Like there are some things, I feel like folks say this too often, like, oh, they could never do that today.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really true. Some things they probably shouldn't do today. And there are a couple of instances like that, but mostly it's pretty fun. And Martha wants me to try Outlander. I'm at a level with you. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I want to watch it. I just never am in the mood. I've never seen
Why
it.
Why is that show so hard for us to get into the mood for? So many people like it.
I don't know. It seems, the premise, it seems very appealing. And then I sit down and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to watch that for whatever reason.
So if it's like Outlander or if it's the night and everyone in the house has gone to bed and I'm a bit of a night owl kind of guy, I tend to stay up a little later and it's just me and the dog. And I have the option between starting an epic journey through time with Outlander or seeing who Samantha sleeping with on Sex in the City. Just easier to just choose that, it seems to me. But hopefully I'll get around to it someday. And I'm sorry for all the folk who are waiting on that. All right. What a great show we're having. Oh, yes. And Melissa recommends Silo. I am thinking about Silo. That sounds like a cool show. Daniel loves it. And I'm considering that for our next show. We're between like Fargo and Silo. Hannibal. We'll watch something new pretty soon. And Nicole's watching the Decameron on Netflix. Funny and sweet. Very nice. Finally, Natalie, are you ready to go through the WIC News Lightning Round, where we go through a bunch of stories we didn't have time to get to the body of the show and give our 20-second opinions on it, no more or less?
Yes, absolutely.
For your sake, I did put these in order and tried to give you ones that I thought would be tolerable. And I'm going to start by asking you one. I assume you've seen Squid Game. I guess I could be wrong. But Natalie, did you know that Squid Game, the very popular Netflix dystopian game show, will return for season 2 this December and then we'll wrap up with season 3 next year?
Yes, this is definitely really exciting. I have not seen Squid Game, shockingly. I need to
That
watch
is
it
kind of
before
shocking.
season two. Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, people have been waiting for this for a long time. They wrapped filming for season two a long time ago, supposedly. So yeah, people are really excited about that. It's one of Netflix's biggest shows. So, all right, Disney pulls the plug on the Lando show starring Donald Glover.
They did. They were making, it was one of like 30 million Star Wars shows they were making. They put out the act, they put out Skeleton Crew was going to come up, Ahsoka, et cetera, and so forth. They were making a Lando show starring Donald Glover. No more. They're just not going to go forward with it. I think Disney is trying to pull back. I think they have overextended themselves. I think they know they've overextended themselves and they're trying to size down a bit. And I think it's probably for the best. But mileage may vary. Natalie, here's a fun one. Irish swimmer Daniel Whiffen won gold at this year's Olympics years after he was an extra in the Red Wedding on Game of Thrones.
This is awesome. I saw this story on winnerscoming.net and thought it was really, really fun. I would say I wish I watched him compete, but I wouldn't have recognized him as an extra,
Yeah, of
but
course.
that's awesome. Red Wedding is still one of the best episodes of TV of all time. And it's great that Game of Thrones is so huge that I feel like so many extras and guest stars have gone on to do really cool things.
Like half of Ireland, I'm sure, was in that show at some point.
Yeah. All right. Our next one is definitely exciting. The Orville will reportedly begin filming season four early next year.
Yeah, the Orville, this Star Trek watcher, Seth MacFarlane, Daniel turned me onto the show. He loved it and he wouldn't show up, so I finally watched it. I thought it was great, just really earnest and fun and kind of pure-hearted, but still zany and wacky and enjoyable. And it's been on the bubble for a long time. Season four, I would watch the crap out of a final season of The Orville. I think they've earned it. They've done a great job. I'm very excited about that. I hope it goes through.
Awesome.
On probably Hulu, I guess. Natalie, you live in New York City, the same place that Samantha Jones lives.
Yeah.
Stranger Things, The First Shadow, the Stranger Things play is coming to Broadway. Would you see that?
Possibly. I know this, they had it in London and people loved it. It seems interesting to me. The only reason I'm hesitant is I know the prices are going to be outrageous
Oh, God, I
for
can't
something
even
like
imagine.
this. But yeah, no, it sounds great. Stranger Things is one of my favorite shows, and it is coming to an end next year, presumably. So that's cool.
Very nice.
All right. Our next one is Peacock dumps Sam Esmail Miles. Remake of Battlestar Galactica,
Yeah, Sam Esmail, I don't really know how to say it either, was the guy behind Mr. Robot, and he kind of had some cachet for a while. Battlestar Galactica, beloved sci-fi series from the 70s and then remade in the early 2000s. I'm a fan. I like I didn't want I didn't I wasn't a super fan, but I liked it.
me.
He was trying to get this remake off the ground, Battlestar Galactica, and just it kind of again, it was kind of post-COVID, post-strikes, just things are being culled, and this is one of them, which is too bad. They might shop it around. I'd go to Apple. They seem to love sci-fi with a bottomless need. Natalie, Industry season three premieres this Sunday. Are you into the show?
Yes. Well, I watched the first season, and it was good. I enjoyed it. So I need to catch up on it. I was planning to before Sunday. That has not happened, but it's a good show. It's like a very, I described it in a post the other day. Like it's like Succession, but younger people, and they showed their personal lives a lot. So it's also kind of Euphoria-esque, but not as crazy as Euphoria. And
Gotcha.
investment bankers. So it's a good show.
Very nice. And Melissa asked, "What's the buzzer?" I'm glad you're here, Melissa. Hope you like and subscribe. To make sure we don't go over 20 seconds in our responses. We're disciplined here. We're very serious about this.
Yes.
And oh, finally, I think the last one's for me.
Yes. And our last one, which I need some tea on this. The Wheel of Time might be in danger of cancellation. Tell us about
There's
this.
this video went around yesterday about a guy who says he talked to people on the inside and is saying that they aren't going to renew it for season four unless until after season three, and only if season three kind of improves numbers. Again, like Amazon's got money, but even they are thinking, like, how long keep this up? What they should do is cancel Rings of Power and just give it all to Wheel of Time, what they should do. But I'm not in charge of this stuff. I hope it'll be fine, because that show is a lot of fun. And that's our show for everybody watching. Thanks for sticking around. Don't worry, maybe, possibly, Julie. She says, oh no, I'm going to hope it's going to be okay. So we'll update you on that as we know more. But we're here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 on the East Coast, 1 on the mountains, and noon over in California. We talk about sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, etc. and so forth. We're also available in podcast form, wherever they're available, YouTube Music, Google, I don't know, elsewhere. And of course, give us a like, give us a subscribe. We love to talk to you, and we love to have your adulation in digital form through clicks, likes, and letters. Thanks for watching. Natalie, thanks for coming. Oh, I wanted to ask you really quick about the Stranger Things things. Are you a Broadway person? Just out of curiosity, do you go to Broadway shows?
No, not really. From time to time, but I'm not a Broadway person, no. So that's maybe another reason I'm not jumping at this opportunity.
Yeah, my brother lives in Brooklyn. So if you ever see a guy who looks like me but with glasses, confuse him and say hi.
Okay, will do.
Perfect. And that's our show. I'm sorry we left you with a bummer, Julie. If you want more bummers, come back next Wednesday, talk to us live, and we'll be happy to talk back. See you, everybody. Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.